Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. The Milwaukee Film Festival continues this week and showcases both feature films and shorts, internationally renowned filmmakers, and local ones. Cecilia Condit falls into the latter category in both cases. Condit works in video and photography installation and even songwriting. Her short film, Within a Stone's Throw, will screen at the Oriental Theater tomorrow evening. It's also been shown as a three-channel video and photography exhibit that, as she describes, challenges conventional perceptions of reality, scale, and nature. Condit, who is also director of graduate studies at UWM's Peck School of the Arts, talked with Bonnie North about how this project compares with others she's created.
There are certain similarities that it's sort of a fairy tale still. The difference is that I focus on landscape, and that becomes the terrain that has a sort of a magical, mystical quality. And the landscape I focused on was a landscape in Western Ireland that was destroyed in the 1100s when they cut down all these trees to clear the land for cattle and sheep. The oaks that were cut down never grew back, and what was left was a very harsh, rocky landscape.
Which is what we think of Western Ireland, that that's the natural landscape, but it's not.
But it's not. It was a dense oak forest. And what replaced the oaks in these cracks, which one can hardly believe that oaks should ever grow, were little Arctic flowers that sort of reseeded themselves, and they're just small and delicate and totally beautiful. They're not anything like the dense forest that existed once. I guess all of Europe was in that way around the 1100s. The forest just disappeared. They became pastures.
Wow. And again, when I think of Ireland, and particularly Western Ireland with the cliffs and the ocean and everything, you think of that's it. It's just that barren, very almost otherworldly landscape that feels cold and bleak.
Yes, it is cold and bleak. In fact, I noticed when I would go out shooting in the morning that there was no one out there but me. So I would walk for miles and miles on these incredible rocks and try to explore areas, try to find things like fairy circles and just magic places that I thought that I could make an earth out of. So for me in this piece, it's sort of a making a planet, a universe that's all my own. So I have in the past, like when you asked me what is different about this, I had before been sort of mining my own world in a very personal, private way and then putting it out. And now I had chose a landscape that somehow I could identify with so thoroughly that it was a matter of creating a world and this in the three-channel installation. That this project is part of. It's just three different pieces put together side by side that makes a planet, and it's very much my own planet, and I have control over it, and it's deals with old. I have the castles that are abandoned and human relics that are in the piece, and I have close-up sections that all form this curve of a planet where there's water and there's rushing water. There's me that appears and sort of acts as a guide, rather distant most of the time. The landscape's dominant. The rocks have a character. There's pebbles that you hear when I feel like I walk, and they scatter everywhere. They roll down and sort of crackle as they come to the bottom of a cliff.
You're very distant most of the time. We see you going across, but you are wearing you're really the only bright color. Mm-hmm. In it, everything is kind of grays and blues and greens and muted, beautiful, but not hugely vibrant. And then there's this wonderful sort of pink salmon hue that comes through. It's a jacket or something that you're wearing.
A red dress and black sweater to keep me warm and a little bit dry.
Yeah, which is tough, I know, in that landscape. And the sounds, I remember as I was watching the film thinking that I know you captured the wind and the sound of the pebbles and all of that as the soundtrack, but it was so evocative and it really kind of brought me in. And there was only the one little bit of speech that was there and, of course, no music.
Yes, or the music was secondary, the notes more than music were secondary to the sound of the wind and the pebbles and just the whir. It was something to be out in that landscape by myself and have this wind. It was very battering. It was so strong. It was something deafening. By the time that I left, I just felt like I could hear it all the time. There was almost no escape. It was so huge. And this dress that I wore, that was this red, it was just a strange kind of red. And I felt that it took to the wind. The wind just talked to it in some way. It blew it. It became a signature for the piece, that it was transparent as I felt that I was there. And in this such a speck in this incredible world, there no one went outside. And you could see why. It was dangerous. These rocks were something. These cliffs were high.
And the wind strong.
And the wind was so strong that I wasn't sure sometimes when I would be near a cliff that I was holding onto my tripod for balance and hoping that I would be okay.
So how long did it take to actually film all of this? Because you were doing this yourself.
Yes, I did. I did most everything other than the moving camera by myself. And it took me 5 weeks to shoot it in Ireland. And then I came back and I did more on Lake Michigan. So that was easy. But the lake is Lake Michigan. But all the landscape is, except for the ocean. There's wonderful ocean shots.
And, yes.
And there's like a dream. I feel like the whole piece is a dream in a sense, or some strange thing. A woman just who is me just walks into the world, takes a nap or dreams, and then picks up a stone and throws it. And the stone is sort of an empowering symbol of strength and humanity and the perseverance that we have coming out of this ruin, this castle that I left. And it just travels and it takes on a life that has nothing to do with me. And I sort of represent humanity, and I represent also the Irish fairies. You know, I'm wearing red, which I understand is something that wards off the fairies. And in Ireland, the fairies are something to ward off. So I felt always somewhat protected there.
And at the end, you catch the stone.
And in the end, I catch it. So it comes home, and all the power and all the personality that it had just sort of comes back and sits with me, and it's still.
In the evolution of your creative process, you talked about – I mean, the last time we talked, it was about the film you made about your mother – mm-hmm. and about her last years. Mm-hmm. What is the progression now? Are you moving out into the world creatively? Is that what's happening with you?
I think that is the direction that I'm going. When I think about what I started, I looked for a rocky landscape because I had the sense of this grief. It was rather overpowering from doing this film and then getting so close to her the last few years that I started feeling, you know, disconnected, and like I just thought I was going to become a stone creature, stone. So I looked for this landscape that was stone, and so I looked everywhere, and I found that Ireland really is about as stony as it gets. And so I felt that I would either in some way lose myself there, or else I would find a way to accept this strange hard rock quality that I felt that I was developing or had developed, and own it, and then go on. So I think what happened was that I'm still a little stone, but I'm also connected to the planet in a way that I think was a progression for me. I think that I had lived very much just like poets live, in a world of trying to figure out and describe what are the feelings that they feel, and or imagining worlds that they can talk on a personal level. And I think that's what artists do. But I think that the world now is changing so very much. It's changing with the internet. It's changing with all the environmental things that are going on. And there's a sense of a planet that people are groping with on a deep level. And so I think that as an artist, that is what I think I'm doing. And I'm not sure what I'm doing yet, but I know Lake Michigan has a tremendous pull because it's fierce. And I go out into the areas that are the fiercest, that are held together by huge boulders to make it so that that particular point doesn't disappear. And that seems to be what I'm drawn to, where nature and humanity just come together to try to talk to each other as though there's a dialogue that's terribly important.
Fierce. I was going to say there's a fierceness and an insistence, it seems, to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that in this film, that there was this incredible beauty and exploration, but that there was like this driving need to make that connection mm-hmm. with that landscape and with the planet, with the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that it's a dialogue I think that many artists are having now, that, you know, going to the Arctic to work, going to places that are far away from civilization and tackling things in it's hard to know what to do as an artist and a person who's living in a world that has so many issues that is trying to work out right now. And so I think that this edge of where humanity stops and those areas where that take on a certain iconography, either because they're destroyed or because they haven't been destroyed, are fierce. And I think that the people who go there, it's a transformative process. I think it's why so many people go into places that are and their backyard, their wildness. What is it that Thoreau said? That
yes.
Your backyard is as much wilderness as one really needs.
Well, Cecilia, as always, such a pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for coming back. And I hope we'll be talking to you more about the continued fierceness in your life and work.
Oh, thanks, Bonnie.
Cecilia Condit's short film, Within a Stone's Throw, will show on Thursday as part of the Milwaukee Film Festival. She spoke with Bonnie North. Condit is also director of graduate studies at UWM's Peck School of the Arts. You'll find a link to an excerpt from the film at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. A series of even shorter films tells real stories of Milwaukeeans, both famous and under the radar. We'll hear more when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio.